Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know how the rain falls down to the earth, waters the plants, grain grows, and that becomes the food for those who live on earth. And if you're starving, you're really thankful to have something that springs forth from the ground to nourish your body. And if food is a little scarce around the house, even that old bread that might have a little green fuzzy spot on it isn't nearly as bad as when there's plenty. But thank God we live in a world, in a land that serves as the world's food basket. And there is plenty of food, and the only people who go starving are those who have certain conditions, illnesses, or mental problems that make them not want to go where there is help. But when Israel was wandering in the wilderness, right after they'd left Egypt, they'd left Mount Sinai, they were on their way to the Promised Land, they began to complain about a lack of food. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." Wouldn't that be great? You just go outside with a basket and the food falls right into it. That's what happened. And that bread must have been tasty and nutritious, but no matter how good any food might be, eating the same thing over and over again every day is such a challenge, even for the least adventurous palate. And after a while, the people complained about the bread that came from heaven, and the Bible acknowledges their complaints in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." Well, it was only worthless because they didn't want it. So God gave them a side dish. It was a side of snake, along with the bread. But instead of them eating the snakes, the poisonous snakes were biting the people. People in China were complaining about the price of pork. And then a plague came. People in China were not getting the food that they wanted, and so they began to venture out into other dishes. And world health officials say that the novel coronavirus 2019 jumped from humans, from exotic animals that were being sold in the Wuhan city food market. There you could buy just about anything you wanted, including koala bears. Some Australians were complaining that the Chinese were eating animals that were considered to be almost extinct. But too bad that the health inspectors never visited that food market. And hundreds are now dead from a virus that started there. I doubt that any of us would ever buy food from an open market like that, where flies and birds might foul the merchandise. In fact, Americans, it seems, are so particular, they won't even buy gas station food. At least some people won't. Gas station food has long had the reputation of being the bottom rung of nutrition. Now, I've bought food from gas stations before with mixed results. It's not that bad if you're starving and you can't find anything else. But it's more about convenience than quality. And I'm not saying it isn't fresh, but a lot of people would rather go anywhere else to find something better to eat. People who travel a lot will usually stop at a fast food restaurant instead of buying food at a gas station. But whether you are and looking for food at a gas station or the Wuhan food market or fast food restaurants, it'll keep you alive, but the question may be for how long. Nearly everyone knows the difference between convenience food and comfort food and nutritious food, but how many people know the difference between food that nourishes the body and soul food? And I'm not talking about cornbread and fried catfish and barbecued ribs and greens. That food won't necessarily keep you alive any longer than any other kind of food. I'm talking about the soul food that Jesus described, the food that nourishes our souls. And Jesus talked about it in John chapter 6. He had just fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He later left the crowds, but some of them were trying to find where he went. Some caught up with him later. And in John chapter 6 and verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." And then Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." How much of your work is spent on food to keep your body alive? You work to earn a living, or you worked and then you retired, and then your food budget is spent on the food that keeps your body alive. And even after you consider the cost of the food, there's time that is spent on preparing and cooking the food. But according to USA Today, the average expenditure for food by every American, now it would be higher on the coastlines, a little less in the heartland of the country, but the average American expenditure for food each year is $7,203. That's a lot. And of that amount, $4,000 approximately is spent on food at home and $3,000 away from home. Americans like to go out to eat. But that may be a lot less than what you spend, but however much of your food budget that you spend, you've got to admit that it is a substantial amount. Food is not free. And the crowds that were surrounding Jesus seemed to want proof from him that free food that had been passed out before when the 5,000 were fed with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, they wanted proof that Jesus could keep that up. And the crowds that surrounded Jesus wanted proof that he had come from God so that they could know for a certain that he was going to be able to feed them like Moses did in the wilderness. There in John chapter 6, verse 30, "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' And then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven.'" Number one, it wasn't Moses' doing that the manna fell. Moses intervened on behalf of a people complaining about there's no food, and God said, "I'm going to rain bread down from heaven." And then Jesus made it clear to the people when he spoke in John chapter 6, verse 32, "My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now I understand better why Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus is the Word that came from God. And through His Word, life is imparted to those who receive it. And as it says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received Him, He gives power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. There's where the real life comes. It's not from eating loaves and fishes. It's from consuming the words that God has provided. What's the most important meal of the day? What would you think? Some probably is going to say breakfast because that's our culture. I think most of us would probably say it's breakfast. But if you said breakfast, you were wrong. And the reason I say that is because Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 35, I am the bread of life. The most important meal of the day is when you sit down with God's Word and you receive strength for your soul. Yeah, breakfast is important, but the Word of God is more important. And in the words commonly referred to as the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, it was Jesus that said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That food that you eat at breakfast time, it's all gone and you want something a little later in the day. But that word that you receive from God is a word that satisfies into eternity. And the empty calories of the commercial food industry just make you want to keep eating more and more, and you're never satisfied. People fill up on junk food and then they wonder, why do I feel sick all the time I've been eating this and I still want more? And there is a vital difference between a bag of chips and a bundle of vegetables. There is a bigger difference between the food that sustains our bodies and the bread from heaven. There is also a sharp contrast between the true bread and what some people say is bread. Now, there's a lot of false teachers across the land, people who will fill the minds and hearts of those whom they're teaching with nonsense. But when it comes down to it, the only way we can discern the difference is when we turn to the Scripture and we find what the Savior taught, and that way we can know we have received the true bread of life. Back up two chapters in the book of John, if you're looking in your own scriptures, and read a conversation between Jesus and the disciples who had just returned from Kroger. Well, it wasn't exactly Kroger, but they had come back from their grocery shopping. They had gone to the store to buy bread, and they came back. And Jesus had this conversation with the woman at the well. She was so convinced that Jesus was the Messiah that she invited her friends. And they had all come to hear Jesus. And there they were gathering around. And the disciples came back. And the account comes from John chapter 4, verse 31 through 34. In the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. That left the disciples puzzled and still causes people to scratch their heads wondering if certain foods are more important than other foods. There is food that we are able to see and smell, and it makes us salivate, and it's delicious on our tongues, and satisfies the hunger in our stomachs, but there is a different kind of food that satisfies a deeper longing. And there is no earthly kind of food that can take its place nor has the capacity to gratify that desire. That is the Jesus food. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He's the good stuff. Now think about it, and you will quickly realize that our spiritual needs that far outweigh our need for food can only be satisfied by Jesus Christ. You've heard that expression, give a person a fish and they'll eat for a day. Give a person Jesus and they'll live forever. Understanding how that works will change a person's focus away from the earthly food that we find so delicious, that puts us on a mission to find the real food that doesn't just satisfy the physical body. It can't do that. It satisfies that soul, that inner soul inside. And when Jesus said in John 6 and verse 38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, helps us to realize that the mission that we should be on is not just to get to the grocery store, find all the items on our list, put it in the basket, wait a long time in line to pay for it, and then get home and fix it and eat it. That is one kind of mission. I'm relatively new at grocery shopping. All the time I was growing up, even after my wife and I got married, when I went to the grocery store, I didn't like using a grocery list. I just wanted to go through and find, oh, that looks good, put some of that in the cart, and that looks good, put some of that in the cart. But after a little while, just one trip, I learned that that's not a very good way to have food at the house that will fit with the meal plan. I didn't even know what a meal plan was until I married Debbie. But I remember the first time I went to the grocery store with my wife's shopping list, and it was a major task. But I quickly realized that if I wanted to get everything on the list and get it done that day, then I'd have to focus on the mission. And I knew we needed food to stay alive, and that my former habit of just going through the store and pleasure buying, that didn't work. It wasn't effective for meal planning. And no matter how good a person is at meal planning, at food selection, at savvy shopping, or even at food preparation, eventually we all lose our appetite and the ability to eat for good. Jesus said in John 6, 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. Even that bread that God rained down from heaven, it wasn't enough to keep people alive forever. Jesus said, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Now how's that for putting us on the right mission? When we understand the value of the words that the Savior has given us, it'll be our mission to understand it, to remember it, to follow it, to feast upon it every day. You see, the people that heard Jesus, they had trouble comprehending what Jesus was talking about, because they could not see the symbolic nature of his words. They couldn't understand the metaphors that he was using. They didn't recognize that there was a spiritual message in the words of Jesus. And so all they could do is look at the words that Jesus spoke and take them in a literal way. And that made a lot of people upset with Jesus when he said, you need to eat my flesh. What are you eating that will keep you alive? Which food do you think is the most important to maintain health and promote long life? Well, if you ask someone who has a financial interest, you'll get an answer, but it will be the answer they want you to have. And when you make your buying decisions, they hope that you have believed the advertising they've put out. So if you ask the Egg Council what you should eat, the Egg Council is going to say you should have eggs every day. And if you, no matter how high your cholesterol might be or how much fat the doctor says to limit, ask the milk industry and they'll tell you you should drink milk 3 times a day because milk makes strong bones, in spite of no evidence to substantiate their claim. Ask the meat industry what you should eat, and they would have you pile it high on your plate at every meal. It's not that milk or eggs or beef or pork, it's not that their industries don't understand the principles of health. They don't want to kill off their customers, but they understand the principle of profit better than they understand the principle of nutrition better. And similarly, many of Jesus' own disciples fail to understand the distinction between the spiritual food and bread that would sustain one's body because they understood staying alive better than they understood living forever. In John chapter 4 and verse 33, when the disciples came and they saw Jesus talking with these people that had gathered in Samaria, and Jesus said, "I have bread to eat you don't know about." The disciples wondered, has anybody brought him bread already? Did they think Jesus had a secret stash of food somewhere that they didn't know about? It was in their carnal mindedness that they only thought of food as what you could put in your mouth that tasted good that would keep you from starving. There was even greater confusion when Jesus fed the 5,000. After seeing what Jesus had done, some of the people tried to force Jesus to become king of Israel. John 6:15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. They neither understood the miraculous nature of Jesus' sign in feeding all of those people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, nor did they understand the meaning of his teaching, nor the nature of his kingdom. They were so focused on the literal bread. Later, when Jesus spoke of eating his flesh in John 6 and verse 52, the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Well, Jesus wasn't speaking about cannibalism. He was using words as symbols to help everyone understand the bigger picture, how that he was going to give his flesh and his blood on the cross to pay for sin so that people might live forever with God. And whoever would receive the message of the gospel, they would be able to live forever. In that sense, they were consuming the Son of God that they might live.
Yes, sir.
That time when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples didn't get it any better than anybody else. And in Mark chapter 8, the disciples had forgotten to buy bread. In verse 14, they only had 1 loaf of bread with them in the boat. And then Jesus charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they thought Jesus was saying that because they'd only brought 1 loaf of bread. But don't think we are any smarter or get it any better, and that we could never, that we would never misunderstand who Jesus was or what he taught. We are born with the same frame of reference. We grow up with the same prejudices. We have the same carnal mindedness. We have the same temptations that the people had in the first century. And we are still tempted with food and are still tempted to put too much emphasis on getting it and consuming it. Even when Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" How many of those people heard the Savior, who heard the Savior, might have been thinking, "Yeah, we need more than food and clothes. We also need a roof over our head to keep us from getting rained on, and walls to keep the wind from blowing in on us and making us cold. And we need entertainment and pleasure and a comfortable bed and someone to share it with, and on and on and on. And with such a self-centered focus, how could anyone open up their minds to receive the truth from God that rained down from heaven? You know, back in the wilderness, the Israelites, who wandered there for 40 years, continued to eat the bread that God showered down upon them, and they still lacked faith enough to understand from where it came. It wasn't like they were just unbelievers who thought, there must be some accidental phenomena of nature that caused this edible substance to blow in from somewhere else into our camp that we can collect it. That's great, because I get to eat it, I'm staying alive. But when Jesus talked about life being more than food, he was saying there is something inside us that needs something more than just the food that grows up from the earth. Last year, there was a teenage boy that made the news. He was from England, well, the United Kingdom. I'm not sure if it was Scotland, Northern Ireland, or England. But a teenage boy went blind by being too selective about what he was eating. The news report said that he was so selective about what he ate, and it took so long for the doctors to diagnose his illness, that the New York Daily News reported all he had been eating from his youngest years up until he was 17 was nothing but Pringles, potato chips, white bread, and French fries. Only they called them chips in England. And he first went to the doctor when he was 14, complaining about being tired. At age 15, he was suffering some hearing loss and having visual symptoms. But doctors still couldn't puzzle it out. By the time the doctors discovered the nutrition problem, his vision was irrevocably damaged. He was blind to his need for good food, and then the lack of it caused him to actually go blind so that he couldn't see. If people pick the wrong food, if they try to eliminate what is going to keep them alive, they're just going to get sicker and sicker, suffer with ill health, and perhaps ultimately it will lead to an untimely demise. There are foods that can kill you. Yeah. If you eat pork that has not been cooked, you will get either trichinosis or tania or an E. coli infection. And it is a very slow death. But it's a much slower death than if you would just eat one ground up cherry pit. There is enough cyanide inside that cherry pit that if you ground it up to release the cyanide, it would kill you in 5 minutes. If you eat 2 teaspoons of ground nutmeg, it will cause convulsions, and it can possibly cause death. If you eat 3 teaspoons, it will definitely kill you, but certainly don't do the cinnamon challenge with nutmeg. Have you heard about the cinnamon challenge? Young people trying to eat a tablespoon of cinnamon and then gagging on it, and when they cough it back up, it gets into their sinuses and their nostrils, causing them even more pain. But apple seeds contain cyanide too, and you don't have to grind them. Just eat the raw seeds. Only 200 of them will do, and then it'll be your last supper, or lunch, or breakfast. But no matter which food you choose or how tasty that food might be, there is nothing that is produced on God's green earth that can keep you alive forever. By following the directions of the Spirit of God, those life-giving words that Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life," they can lead you into eternity. where there is no longer hunger, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more dying. And the world is always filling up on all of the bad stuff that Paul listed in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lewdness, idolatry and sorcery and hatred and contentions, jealousies and outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy and murder and drunkenness and revelries and such like. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Fill up on this stuff, and you will certainly die in eternity. However, there are fruits that enable living forever. Ponce de Leon, back in 1521, should have been looking for these fruits instead of for that fountain of youth. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the Apostle Paul said, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And just like you need good food to make your body strong, you need spiritual food to keep your spirit alive. The Word of God is described in various places in the Bible as the water, the milk, the bread, the meat. And it will give us strength and preserve our lives. It's everything that we need for sustenance and for endurance and for salvation. There's an old proverb, "You are what you eat." But it's not actually that old. It was originally written by a Frenchman back in 1826. That makes it relatively old. But he never really said it like that. He said, "Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are." And I think he was actually promoting haute cuisine, which they probably pronounced as haute cuisine. He advocating eating a healthy diet of fresh and delicious food. But that Frenchman is long gone, in spite of the good food choices that he made. But Jesus is still living and reigning in the hearts and minds of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lunchtime is getting close, and there might be a few of us whose stomachs are letting us know that we need some food to keep us alive. But if you chose to be filled with the bread from heaven, you will never hunger again. And it is only through Jesus Christ that it is possible for us to rise above the earthly elements, to overcome this earthly living where we are tempted and succumb to the devil's temptations. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can have hope that no matter how good of food choices we make, we're still going to die here. But if we choose Jesus, we will be able to live forever. As I'm looking out over the audience this morning, I see a group of people who have chosen Jesus. And I'm glad that you have, but it's a daily choice. It is an hourly choice. Throughout our lives, we must continue to choose Jesus. But if there's anyone here today that is in need of spiritual assistance, however we can help you, we're ready to, while we stand and while we sing the song of encouragement.